In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. We'll get back to the Soto calls in just a little bit. Whatever else is on your mind on this Tuesday, in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. How about those Knicks last night? You know, it's funny, BT. In the span of two games, you saw both the biggest fears from what the Knicks could be and both the greatest expectations and reason to hope of what they could be last night in Denver, obviously, versus Saturday in Utah. Dude, this team, when they're clicking, that's why you build it the way that they did. The team last year, as much as people love them, they weren't capable of doing what you saw the Knicks do last night in Denver.
I don't disagree with that, and that's why their upside's always been appealing to me. I mean, you know, 45 assists. I mean, I think that's a Knick record, I think I read. They were just fun to watch, and they've been very unselfish, and they've got, you know, a couple of guys who can carry the mail on any given night. OG, it was his turn last night. I guess the only thing that wasn't really great was Bridges didn't bounce back from the fourth quarter benching. Didn't shoot well. 2 of 8 from downtown. 25% there. Not good.
He might turn out to be the X factor for this team.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, do you feel good about it?
No, I'm torn on that.
Yeah, me too. I'm not going to give up on him, but
I still ultimately would lean toward the positive in Bridges. I still believe he's going to get the job done. I like his makeup. I think he's got a good attitude. He's not intense. He's just got like a fun, easygoing, which makes me think that he's not putting too much pressure on himself, and eventually he'll come through. Mm-hmm. If he were struggling, putting too much pressure on himself, then maybe I'd feel the opposite. But I think Bridges will get it going once he starts to really get comfortable. But Towns is a beast. Anunoby has fit perfectly with Brunson and Towns being the lead guys. I mean, you're just seeing the best version of Anunoby that the Knicks have seen, and maybe even ever.
How many times did the Knicks have three other players in the starting five a year ago take more shots than Jalen Brunson?
Probably not often. Yeah,
think all about three. Bridges, OG, and Carl Anthony all took more shots than Jalen Brunson did, who had 17 assists, by the way.
Think about, and that's what I'm saying, like the easy scoring that this team has. Dude, even dating back to the Ewing days, it was hard to get buckets. Back then, it was a different game, but they went through the big fella, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe hit a couple of threes with Starks, whatever it may
Hubert
be.
Hubert Davis.
Yeah, okay, fine. And then they evolved, and Melo still was the guy when they, you know, that iteration
and
of the
Amari,
Nations.
And,
never looked. Okay, whatever. Last year, okay, good. You know, the Randall years, and then with Brunson, it was Brunson being the focal point. But then when Randall went down, even Anunoby, he was not a great second option for the Knicks. Like, he's a player that he's a good player, but he's far better as a third or fourth guy.
Yeah, I would agree with
fitting
that.
Fitting in. Like, I would agree with that. That's just his game. And you're seeing him now thrive where he's not the guy. So the defense could focus on Towns or Brunson or even Bridges to a certain extent. Then you have Anunoby. They have legitimate guys that could pop off, even with Hart being minimized.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last year, he became a big scorer in the postseason because he had to be, and he did the job. But ultimately, you don't want to rely on Hart to score 20-plus points tonight. Dude, Brunson, Towns, Bridges, Anunoby, legitimate. And these guys could score easy 20 to 30 points tonight.
Yeah, but I do think we're lumping Bridges in there a little prematurely. Like, he's not a given yet. I again, I'm I'm optimistic that he's going to figure things out and get that stroke figured out and, you know, play his defense, which, by the way, has not been great this year either, and that's based on statistics like that. That's provable. His defense is taking a little downturn. I don't know, maybe he's in his head with shooting and new guys around him, new responsibility, a little bit of a different defense under Tom Thibodeau compared to what he did with the Nets. I don't know. But what I do know is that the Knicks can run you out of the gym and hang 135 on you without blinking. Like, their offense is tremendous. And most important to me, because this was my only reservation early in the season, it was half about the toughness, which I thought would resolve itself when certain guys got healthy. And last night, you saw McBride, who, when he's not there, is absolutely missed. 28 minutes for him, for Deuce. Campaign, while Deuce was down, Campaign was carving out a nice little role with this team as well. So now you look at the starting five, and you look at McBride and Payne, that's seven. You're going to have, eventually, Mitchell Robinson coming back. That's eight right there. And
you mentioned Achua.
And Achua is nine.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe they make a move for a sniper. Did you see the T-Wolves might trade DiVincenzo?
Yeah, I know. Don't get your hopes up.
But I'd be open to it. Yeah. You know, I would be. Yeah. Either way, the Knicks have the depth that you can start to see down the road what they could be.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're now joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Baldy, have the Jets asked for your input yet on who they should hire as the next GM head coach combination?
They have not. I have not. I've sort of, been texting back and forth with certain people, so obviously, Rex is out there campaigning pretty strong for the position. I don't think that would be wrong to bring Rex back. He understands that building and the owner as well as anybody. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, they had some success with Rex there. Who knows?
Don't you think it's kind of embarrassing the way Rex is begging for this job?
Well, I don't think he's, being interviewed or offered or talked about any other place. He's been here before. He took a team to an AFC championship game with a rookie quarterback. He kind of knows how to do it. I think he misses coaching, and it's right in his backyard. So I don't know if it's embarrassing or not. I just think he wants Woody to know that if you're going to conduct a search, maybe you should bring me back in and let me tell you what my plans are.
Yeah, no, and by the way, Baldy, I'm okay with that, but I think there's a time and a place for it. Like, so he's with ESPN. I know some of his colleagues have fairly popular pods, whether it's Shannon or Ryan
right.
Clark. I mean, listen, if you're on a podcast and you're having a couple of drinks and the Jets come up and you start touting yourself, that's one thing. He's going on TV every single day, and he's telling us that be a Jet, I'm a Jet. To me, it's just, and I get it, and I appreciate his enthusiasm. And aside from knowing defense, his second best trait is selling himself, but it just comes across. We've crossed the line of desperation. We get it, Rex.
Well, he got a platform, and nobody else out there that, is a candidate has a platform like that. So he's taking advantage of it. I don't think it's shameless. I don't know how attractive the job is to a lot of people. And I don't know who's out there. I don't know the search committee. I mean, whether it's Tannenbaum or the 33rd team or, whoever's going to try and help Woody out. Or, if it's, the guys, Phil Savage, whoever. Like, I don't know, how attractive it's going to be to maybe some, last year, Jim Harbaugh was out there and he wasn't really campaigning, but everybody knew he wanted to leave. He got himself into a good situation. He's turned a terrible situation around into a really good one. Is it Gruden? Is it Belichick? Obviously, because he's going to be interested in his job just from past history. But, who are the guys out there?
Vrabel?
That could come in here and juice up the fan base and get these guys, because there's a lot of talent in that locker room. Who's out there that could do it right now besides Rex?
Well, what are we looking at with Rodgers, Baldy? We're talking about Brian Baldinger. You want him back? I mean, it sounds like the Jets don't want him back. What would you do if you're the Jets with Aaron Rodgers going into next year?
I think we've seen the age and the coming back from the Achilles. I don't think he's going to look any better next year after this year that he's gone through. Like, he's not going to get any younger. It's a young man's game. And so, I would look elsewhere right now after what I've seen so far this year.
Yeah, I've said the same thing, Baldy. Can you do us a favor? Can you lift up the curtain? Because we say it, But we really, it's hard to substantiate, though there's been some stories this week, but it's just generally assumed that Woody is very hard to work with. And the record backs that up, and the constant shuffling of coaches and GMs, it's been a mess, right? So nobody thinks that Woody's good. But why are the Jets, you know, off the record between, you know, guys you know, played in the NFL, whatever, why is the Jets situation viewed as so unattractive, specifically pertaining to the owner?
Just because, you know, he's had a quick hook and they just haven't had stability. I mean, when was the last time they actually had the coach and the general manager come in together? I mean, Joe Douglas came in when Adam Gase was here and then he had to conduct a coaching search and, you know, Sala. And, I don't know. I think that it's got to – you don't necessarily have to have a coach and a general manager that has a history together. We've seen that work, you know, how that's going over with the Giants next door. But they don't necessarily – but they do have to be in agreement with how to – the vision, how to build a team, you know, how they're going to approach free agency. Like, I think it's got to start with that, with just a commonality between a coach and a general manager to say – the way Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch started together in San Francisco. And, you know, they've been there for 8 years together now. So, I do think it's got to start with that approach.
What do you think, Boldy? You mentioned the Giants. What do you think is going on with there? You want Shane and Dable to be back? You think they, I don't want to say deserve, but would you give them another chance here to try to build this thing in a different way with a different quarterback moving forward?
You know, I mean, that was a horrible performance on Sunday. And, you know, another one of those performances like that, it's going to be hard because, I mean, Tampa Bay took them apart. And there's some weaknesses on that Tampa team that could not be exploited. And, you know, they got a backup left tackle in there. I didn't see anybody beat them all day. Like, they destroyed that defensive line. Baker did whatever he wanted to do. And those two running backs are not great backs, but Rashad White, like, I didn't think, I mean, maybe Malik Nabers might have been strong about it, what he said, but really the tape kind of backed it up, and that's an indictment on both of those guys,
yeah,
that they could not come and play any better than that against a team that had been reeling, really, really bad for the past month.
Yeah, the Bucs had lost four straight games, you know, and bigger picture here, Dable came in with an offensive background, Boldy, as you know, and the Giants' point per game average so far this year is the worst in 25 years, so I guess the question is, you know, if the quarterback play was better, I know that the numbers will look better, but are you sure that Dable's the offensive innovator, genius, whatever he was labeled before he got hired by the Giants? Do you view him that way, or do those concepts look a little stale, a little predictable? What are you seeing on film with what they run?
Well, they had 18 plays in the first half. Not one play went to Malik Nabers. They come out, they're down 23-0 at the half. They come out in the third quarter, and the first three plays are completions to Malik Nabers. Like, why did they have to be down 23-0? Why did they have to wait to the start of the third quarter to feed their best player?
I have a question for you. I agree, but my question would be, and I didn't see the film to this extent, I don't know, was he double and maybe triple teamed when the game was in doubt, and when it was over, they said, let him catch a few from the Bucs perspective? I don't know. Did that change?
No.
Okay.
No. The Bucs are a zone team.
Right.
Like, okay, Jamel Dean's on one side. And, you know, I mean, they know who's out there. I mean, Malik Nabers he's a very good talent. I don't want to throw bouquets at the kid. He's still just a rookie, but he's a really good player. And he showed it to start the third quarter. They've done this before, though, where they don't look like they know how to get their star receiver the ball. And if you're going to try and help out, you know, a quarterback, you know, in his second year here who's young, still young, but you're looking for a spark, you're looking for him to, like, get the ball to your receiver, let him help you out. And to go 18 plays and not get him the ball, I didn't understand that at all.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. What'd you see from DeVito, Baldy? I know he spent too much time on his back. He's actually dealing with a forearm issue I'm reading now, so he's not 100% good to go yet for Thursday's game in Dallas on Thanksgiving. What'd you see from DeVito in that game?
I saw some things that I saw from a year ago. I mean, you know, Vita Vea was collapsing the pocket every time he dropped back. And so he was getting flushed like he did last year. They ran the same stunt that the Saints ran against him for sacks last year. They ran the same stunt. They still don't look like they know how to pick it up. It's not all his fault, but I thought he could have been more accurate when he did get time, get receivers, moving targets. And I saw like an issue there that showed up last year at times.
Hey, Baldy, say quick.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm going to win the MVP.
He's my vote right now. I mean, I'm pretty close to that team in Philadelphia and the guys there. That performance in L.A. on prime time on a Monday night or Sunday night was, was about as good as it gets. He's probably going to lead the league in rushing, probably going to lead the league in touches and yards from scrimmage. I thought Christian McCaffrey should have won it last year. It doesn't look like they want to make a running back, but, I mean, that team right now runs the ball 57% of the time, and he's the reason why, because he's just that good. And that's not a bad Ram team that he destroyed the other night.
No.
But that offense line is really good. He's never seen runways like he saw 70 and 72-yard runs. He's doing things that we haven't really seen before. And that's his talent. And so it should be an award that goes to a talented player who's unbelievably productive with a great team. And they've won 7 in a row right now. They're probably the only team that can compete with Detroit in the NFC right now, the way that they're playing, and he's the reason why.
Who's his main competition right now? Josh Allen, number two, or number one, depending upon?
Josh will see San Francisco this week, and he's up there right now. Lamar Jackson had a great game last night.
Yeah, he did.
But he kind of shares the award of Baltimore with Derrick Henry. And then there's Jared Goff, who's got a team with the best record right now.
Okay. Where do you think Daniel Jones ends up, Baldy?
I don't know. I really don't. Like, is there a reclamation project in San Francisco like they did with Sam Darnold? And he gets, 1 year to kind of learn what stability and game planning and talent around him really looks like, because he doesn't know what that looks like since he's been to the Giants. But, you know, we've seen Sam Darnold and Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield all get second chances, and they've all taken advantage of it. So I think somebody's going to reach out to him. I don't know where that's going to be right now.
Yep. Real quick here, Boldy, before I let you go, and I've said it a few times, some people feel it, some people don't. You're obviously of this generation, so you'll see where I'm going. I'm not saying it's going to be the same exact script that he's going to win an MVP, but I see some similarities with Rich Gannon and Daniel Jones. Athletes. Now, Rich, at the age of 37, won the MVP, and Rich, unlike Jones, was bouncing around first couple of years, the Chiefs, the Vikings, one or two other teams, very transient, couldn't stick. But there was intellect, there was toughness, and there was speed and similar frames, though Jones might be a little bit bigger. Loosely based, are you by that, or is that that's just wacky?
Well, I don't think it's wacky. I mean, look, Daniel Jones has an issue processing and really getting the ball out on time and knowing what he's looking at. That shows up with whoever's calling the plays and behind whatever offensive line, whoever he's throwing to. Like, he doesn't do that on a consistent basis. Just see the field, process information, and get the ball out. He looks hesitant. Now, that can change if he trusted the system better, if he had better plays around him. Could he throw the ball with better anticipation and see the field better to find the open receiver? Like, that has to improve. Now, whether that happened to Rich Gannon, you know, when he got a chance with the Raiders and Gruden, I'm not sure. But certainly a better, proven system and could help him out with better players around him.
Boldy, what do you got going on for Thanksgiving? You doing any of these games?
Yeah, well, I'm doing the post game at the NFL Network for the first two games. And, you know, the Cowboys game, obviously, and Giants, and then Detroit. And then the late game, I'm free, so we've got a bunch of family and stuff that I'm heading to.
What kind of spread are we looking at? NFL Network going to hook you up, or are you hosting a big spread for the night game? What are we looking at?
My girlfriend's family is taking care of all that.
Nice.
I don't really pay too much attention, but I know that, you know, there's going to be enough food left over for me when I get to the house.
Yeah, big dog starts barking. You better have that second plate waiting for him.
I love it.
No, so there's always two. It's my favorite holiday of the year. We got food and football and family. Like, it really never gets any better than that.
It's pretty awesome.
Thank you, Boldy. We appreciate it. Enjoy the holiday.
Thanks, Bri.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. You bet.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
He's got to put a dent in that turkey.
My girlfriend's taking care of that. I'll show up. The food's going to be there. I don't worry about that.
Yeah.
We got to get on the Boldy plan, BT.
He is working that day. He's working. He's supposed to come home and cook, too. He's working.
I mean, sometimes in my house it goes that way. I mean,
really?
My wife always reminds me. She said, you said it didn't matter if I could cook or not before we got married.
Ooh.
I said, you're right. But would it kill you to heat something up for me?
You're screaming about the lack of meatballs last week that you told me about. That was hysterical. It's funny. I don't cook often. When I do it, I really enjoy it.
Really?
Yeah, I put on some music, a little Billy Joel.
Well,
what's that?
A little apron? You put on an apron to cook?
No, I put on an apron.
Oh, apron. All right.
No. Yeah. I'll put on maybe some Simon and Garfunkel, something nice, you know, a little Billy, a little 70s, 80s Billy.
Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend. Is that Simon and Garfunkel?
That's one of them.
Okay,
that's one of the popular ones. I'm talking some off-the-radar ones that I really love. Okay. But no, that's a great one, no doubt. And a little glass of vino, and I'll lean into it. Like, I enjoy cutting the stuff up and sausage. Oh, yeah.
I get no interest.
Sausage, really? To me, it's therapeutic.
I can't wait to go to my mother's house Thursday because she's my mother, my sister, do all the cooking.
Don't get me wrong. My mom is 10 million times. My mom's the best cook in the world. Right. I mean, that's my opinion. I know a lot of people think that about their moms. Right. I absolutely believe that. And, I mean, I can't shine her shoes with that, but she's actually on a cruise. She's in Germany with my dad for Thanksgiving.
Okay,
they
good
took
for
a
them.
Little, you know, check some boxes while they still can, God willing.
And
so
now you get
we're
taste
fending
the
for ourselves here. Yeah. Oh, you know, the doubt my father-in-law makes too.
Okay.
The conventional one, and then he sticks it in the what is that? The oil, but what do they call that? The deep fry.
Oh, deep fry.
Yeah, we got two going.
I wouldn't mess with that myself.
Oh, that's good.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. We'll jam it up the A-gap when we return.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.